And on this third Sunday of Advent, where our theme is joy, obviously we have a very, our banner matches very nicely, so thank you, Marcy, for that. And if you get the chance later on, you can come up here, and this is the verse that is stitched on here from John 15. It says, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Those of you that have been here for the last couple of weeks, we have been doing a series called Holy Night, where we've been using some clips from The Chosen, that show, and they did a Christmas episode where they're imagining some of the different scenes and how it played out. And we've been focusing on the specific messages that the angels gave to different people, like Mary and Joseph, and last week we looked a little bit closer at the shepherds. And we're going to watch one more scene today that expands a little bit more of the shepherd's experience. I want to read a few verses from Luke chapter 2 just to remind us of what the angels said to the shepherds. This is what it says. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for who? All the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. And I'll stop there. We're going to watch a scene called The Joy of the Shepherds, and it imagines what the moment was like for them just after they heard that news. So let's take a watch at this. We've been following this shepherd the last couple weeks, and we've seen some of the rejection that he faced, the social rejection, the spiritual rejection. We saw how people looked down on him because of his physical infirmities, and now we get to see or imagine what it must have been like for him especially to hear this good, good news. We're in the season of Advent, and this is that time of preparation, getting us ready for the coming of Christ once again. And we celebrate this every year, and it's good that we do. It helps tune ourselves to the good news. And so far, we've lit the three candles, hope and peace and joy. 2 weeks ago, when we talked about hope, we talked about how the coming of Jesus allows us to turn away from hopelessness and instead toward hope. Last week, we talked about how the coming of Jesus allows us to turn away from sin and shame and instead towards the peace that Christ offers to all. And today we get to declare that the coming of Jesus allows us to turn away from sadness and instead toward joy. Because of that holy night long ago, we are now able to live a joyful life. Now, I know sometimes it doesn't feel like it because we don't actually really always understand what is a joyful life. And sometimes we've talked about this before when we've talked about joy. I've talked about it. We've used words like happiness, which we know certainly is a part of joy. A joyful life can often encompass all of those happy moments. And sometimes it looks like what we just watched, just unbridled enthusiasm. You just see it on his face where the clip that we watched the previous week, he was downcast when he had been ridiculed in the market. The joyful life is often marked by cheer and warmth. Sometimes we would call that happiness. But we also know that it's more than that, because joy is more than just simply being cheerful. So I thought it'd be interesting this morning to ask you all, what are some other words or ways or ideas that describe joy for you? And this is not rhetorical, this is participatory this morning. What are some of the things that come to your mind when you think of joy? Feeding people. You're good at that. We know. Many of us have benefited from that.
I think of it as a bountiful garden.
Ooh, a bountiful garden. Nice. You're good at that. Nature. Mm-hmm. Okay, so it evokes like a feeling within. Yeah. Yeah. Watching the birds. Yep. Yeah. Jesus, others, and you. Nice. Knowing I'm where God wants me to be. Good. Good. Anyone else? Eating. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, joy is one of those interesting emotions. It's more than just momentary feeling. It's something that evokes kind of that deeper sense within us. Joy is an appropriate response to hearing the good news. Joy is often seen as a mark of the character and life of Jesus that we read about so often in the Bible. Jesus even invites us to participate in his own fullness of joy, a joy which is actually permanent and not transitory. Permanent joy. It almost seems hard to believe, but it's in contrast to our temporary sorrows. A joyful life, then, we could probably describe that in a lot of different ways. You could define it in a bunch of ways. One way would be something like an often cheerful life of contentedness. Or some of the other words that have been used to describe a joyful life is a sense of fulfillment, gratification, satisfaction. All of which grows out of the hope and peace that Jesus brings and offers especially that we recognize this time of year. This is the beauty of the Advent season for us and why it's important to take our time and not just want to jump right to Christmas morning. Hope and peace and joy actually build upon one another. And they give us the ability to be content and satisfied in this life and certainly in the life to come. Hope comes through Jesus, who renews and restores all things. Peace comes through Jesus to those who feel unworthy or are long forgotten or even cast aside, like we've seen with some of these shepherds. With those shepherds, we certainly understand that the joy that they experienced was a happiness within them, but we also see this deeper sense, a newfound peace and hope that maybe they didn't have before. We see joy come through Jesus as well, the kind of joy that cannot be toppled or dimmed by anyone or anything in life. The joy that you can experience through Jesus is independent of our circumstances. You can be completely sad and still joyful. Happiness might be that one that we consider as more of a up and down thing. Joy can be like that steady, like base rock that can keep you going, especially when times are tough. Next week, we're going to look at one more clip at how the shepherds responded to seeing Jesus and then what that actually prompted them to go out and do, how they responded in joy. They could not contain themselves. And we know that when we think of the joyful life, it often includes times of rejoicing. How could we not have moments where we smile and laugh and even feel giddy about what Jesus has already done for you and me, and what Jesus is doing through us and will do in the days ahead? Yet there is also the reality that we have to mention, that often does not mean always. And even if we are called to live a joyful life as followers of Christ, it doesn't mean that every single moment is going to be cheerfulness. We know this well. Sometimes laughter will be on display in your life. Other times it might be calmer or quieter or more subdued, or it has the look of a life that is just quietly going and working itself out. Hebrews 12 says it like this: "For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame." One particular author, I put the quote on a slide, reminds us that Christian joy is the triumph of faith over adverse and trying circumstances, which instead of hindering, actually enhance it. He actually goes on to say, it's not just cheer all the time. It also has moments where gloom is present as well. It's a both and type of thing. When we think about the joyful life, knowing a bit of how we might envision this, it also forces us to acknowledge that the world in which we live in today is not always a joyful place. In fact, there is quite a bit of joylessness in our world. Joylessness in the world, yet somehow there's this tension because we're called into the joyful life. How do we do that in the face of so much that seems against or antithetical to joy? Many in the world live with deep despair and dissatisfaction and a sense of discomfort about the world. That's reality. We don't even have to say a bunch of statistics about it. You know it. You feel it. You sense it. And sometimes we also play into it as well. And while it's important to acknowledge the despair and the joylessness that exists in much of our world, we also have to examine our own role in this as well. Not only in our lives, in our work, in our attitudes, but also the ways that we are within the church. This is not the greatest of news to hear, but one of the things that pains me deeply to see in some of Christ's church is an embrace of things like cynicism, or the adopting of attitudes and ways that reflect the world around us rather than allowing the light of Christ to transform who and how we are. It's necessary for us to tell the truth about this, because sometimes we play a role in living a joyless life. I put one question on the back of your bulletin. I phrased it a little bit differently on the screen, because each of us has to examine ourselves to some degree. One way of saying it is, what hopeless, peaceless, joyless ways in me must go so that I can live like the good news of great joy still remains? I don't like to think about that. I'm sure a lot of you don't like to think about that as well, because it forces us to take a hard look in the mirror at ourselves. Sometimes we can do that really well, but many times, yeah, we don't really like to do that kind of reflectiveness, especially if it means that, oh man, there's some stuff in me that really needs to change if I'm going to live into who God has called me to be. In Jesus, we've been given this good news of great joy, my friends. In Jesus, we have the greatest gift ever given. And he has given us the opportunity to live a joyful life, to experience satisfaction and contentment, and yes, even cheer while we are here on earth, and most certainly when we are reunited in heaven. All because that one holy night when hope and peace and joy and love came to earth. I know that this is a high calling. It's a high calling, but it's also an invitation to live life with these promises and gifts that Christ is offering and has given freely. It is a high calling and invitation to live as one who is hope-filled and peaceful and joyful. It's hard sometimes. Just ask my wife. And I'm sure you all know what that's like too in your household. It's not always easy to be hope-filled and peaceful and joy-filled. And so as we reflect this morning, maybe the question to consider this day is, what shape would this joyful life look like in my life, in me? What are the steps that would allow me to live a more joyful life? What would that look like? What might it look like to be and see a people engaged in an often cheerful life of contentment in our neighborhoods, in the East Bay here, in this country, and yes, even in the wider world we all live in? What would that look like in you? As we prepare to experience a profound act of joy, the joy of baptism, in just a few minutes, I have one thought to close with. And maybe it's a little bit of a challenge too, but it's that living a life full of joy is both a challenge and it's a great missional opportunity for you. So many people in this joyless world of ours are needing it and are desperate to find a reason to have abiding cheer and experience deep satisfaction and contentment in life. And if not from you, the church, then who will they see it in? It's a high calling, but it's also an invitation and a challenge for us. how you practice living out a joyful life in your own context, in the midst of other people, I think can be your greatest witness ever. The greatest evidence that the good news of great joy has actually made a difference for you and in you and through you. My friends, when you see this kind of life lived, it's attractive. It causes people to stop and think, man, I want what they have. I want a taste of this. It can even cause people to turn toward you and hopefully see Christ in you. Because, friends, this great joy was given for all the people. Amen. Good news of great joy. And so we give all glory to God for that good news, this most good news. Amen?
Amen.
Amen and amen. Church, we're going to pray, and then I'm going to invite Angela and a few other folks to come up, and then we'll experience the joy of participating in baptism. And then once we've gone back outside and come back in, we'll sing our closing song and conclude our time together. So if you would join me as we pray. Father in heaven, we gratefully come before you. And I ask on behalf of the gathered church this morning that you would allow us and help us to experience the kind of joyful life that you invite us into. Will you show us the ways in which you would have us demonstrate that in the world? It might look a little bit different for each of us. Help us rise to the challenge of what you offer, this good news of great joy. God, we give you thanks for this day, and we ask that you bless the remainder of our time together. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. I have, most of you who know me know I like visuals, but baptism is a powerful visual that doesn't need a lot of extra help. The image of water is a powerful one. If you were just around in the last few days, you saw we got dumped on with the rain and the wind. And thankfully, it's holding up just enough so we'll be able to go outside in a few moments. Today, Angela is presenting herself to the church for the sacrament of holy baptism. And we rejoice in God's promises for taking this significant step. So I'd invite you to come forward. And I know that you've also asked Rebecca to be your sponsor. So if you would come up and stand next to her. And do you want anyone else up here with you? It's up to you. We want you to feel supported. But I don't want you to feel overwhelmed as well, all right? Let me read a few things for us this morning. Dear sisters and brothers in Christ, as God called and chose his servant people Israel and made covenant with them, saying, I will be your God and you will be my people, so in the fullness of time, God called and chose Jesus Christ to fulfill this covenant for all. Through his birth, life, death, and resurrection, God has made a new covenant of grace whereby we say, I am yours and the people you have given me. Today we come to claim the promises of this new covenant, rejoicing that our Savior Jesus Christ instituted baptism as a visible sign of covenant making, our washing with water by the word, our living in Christ, crucified and risen, our bonding in water with brothers and sisters in Christ, our solidarity with those with whom he is in solidarity with, and our commissioning to serve in Jesus' name. This is baptism's promise and call from the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this verse is also on the bottom of the certificate that we have for you as well. from Matthew 28, Jesus. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. The Bible also says in Ephesians 4, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. So today we present Angela to receive the sacrament of holy baptism. I want to ask your sponsor, Rebecca, one question, and it's this. Will you continue to walk with Angela in this new life in Christ and in the fellowship of this congregation? If so, say, with God's help, I will.
With God's help, I will.
Oh, good. That was enthusiastic, enthusiastic. I forgot to use the microphone, too. It's okay. Great. God extends grace. And I have a few questions for you, and then I want to give you an opportunity after those if there's any words that you would like to say. Do you now desire to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit? If so, say, I do.
I do.
Proclaiming this covenant with Jesus Christ, do you renounce all the powers of evil and declare your opposition to a way of life in contradiction to the gospel?
I do.
Do you repent of your sins, confessing Christ as your Savior and Lord, and living as his faithful disciple?
I do.
Will you devote yourself to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer?
I will.
And empowered by the Holy Spirit, will you do all in your power to participate fully in the life of this congregation, to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? If so, say, I will.
I will.
I will. Awesome. She's answered all of the required questions, folks. Don't worry, we're not that formal. Is there anything that you'd like to say to the church this morning?
Yes, sort of. Just a brief testimony. It's a kind of a long story, so I'll try to make it as short as possible. But in the last year, I really, not for the first time, I've been in the church my entire life. You always kind of are like, yeah, you know, I follow Jesus, but it doesn't really hit until you get to be like a teenager or so, and you really understand what that means. I had the lucky experience of going to Unite West not once but twice, and both times were life-changing for me, especially in the church. And this last time, I kind of didn't want to go. Kind of was like, oh, I'm just not going to do it. And then the last minute, I was presented with the opportunity to go and took it. And that was this just the first step in realizing that I wanted to be baptized this year, where I felt Christ not only in spirit, but in the people around me and in the way that he provided for me that week, especially. And during the women's retreat, where I was lucky enough to room with Miss Rebecca, and we had really good conversations, and that really solidified for me, like, yeah, this is what I want to be a part of for the rest of my life and after it.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you. Before we head outside, church, I have one question for you. We know that the Christian nurture of anyone cannot be assumed alone. And the responsibility of caring for the newly baptized must be shared by all. In receiving and caring for Angela, will you, as members of the Church of Jesus Christ, do your part by word and deed, with love and prayer, to guide and nurture her, encouraging her to know and follow Christ, and caring for her as Christ's own? If so, say, with God's help, we will.
With God's help, we will.
All right. Church, I invite you, we're going to head out right out back there. And if you kind of form a circle, we have one bench out there for family. And the rest of you can kind of form a circle out there, and we will go out.
It was a very cool moment, church. Something literally and figuratively. All right.
Around.
Some of you maybe have not seen our baptismal trough.
Just I have.
Yeah, that's right. Yes. Yep. Just a reminder, once we're done here, we're going to go back in, we're going to sing our closing song, and then you'll have an opportunity to express your love and care for Angela after she's warmed up a little bit, all right? And if I could have one or two people just to kind of help me. So we're going to have you step in. Okay. Yep. All right. If you want to sit on that.
I'll give it a minute.
Yeah. I know. It's just like, okay, if you want to help us out when we get her back, all right?
Scoot forward, Angela.
All right, we're going to do this quick for you, all right? I know you're preaching, okay? All right, church, here we go. Angela, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Say glory to God and welcome and congratulations. Here. I know you're freezing. We got your sister here to help you. All right, we'll let you get a chance to warm up. Church, let's head back inside and we'll sing our closing song together. Welcome. Thank you, church, for this time of worship this morning. It has truly been a joy to be with you all, and now receive the simple yet profound apostolic charge. Go now in joy and serve the Lord with gladness. Amen and amen. Have a wonderful week. Once Angela is changed, take a moment and welcome her and say hello. And we encourage you to spend a few minutes in fellowship this morning. Amen. Amen.